In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who instruct the hearts of your faithful by light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
St. Ignatius.
Pray for us.
St. Paul the Cross.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, and you may be healed. The fervent prayer of a righteous person is very powerful. Elijah was a human being like us, yet he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain upon the land. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you should stray from the truth, and someone bring him back, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. The word of the Lord. Okay, two ideas I'd like to underline on that before we go back to the Diary of St. Faustina. And it's, every day we should make a concerted effort to grow deeper and deeper in our prayer life. And we have to make a real effort to grow in this area. And it's easy to fall into mediocrity. And that's the perennial temptation, is that we're praying, but there's no fervor. There's no fire. And we don't want to lose that fervor. So every night when we examine our conscience, we should ask ourselves, are we really giving 100% to really grow in our prayer life? And also those who receive much are going to be asked for more. I mean, people who have so many opportunities to go to Mass, talks, retreats. Obviously, God is going to ask much more of you people than most people. I mean, not to scare you, no? But the fact that you've received so much, make sure that you really try to be generous, that we all try to be generous. As he who has much will be asked much in return. That's the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. St. Bernard says it's much easier to see someone who moves from the state of sin into the grace than someone who's going from a better life to holy life. And that's St. Bernard Clairvaux, the mellifluous doctor. So then related to that, St. James says that whoever brings back someone, bring someone back to the faith, stray soul back to the faith, is securing his own salvation. And I think that this is very parallel to what we have in the Diary of St. Faustina. It's one of the principal aims of the diary as well as the message of Fatima is to work with God for the salvation of souls. You have a real hunger in our lives to work, to collaborate for the salvation of eternal souls. If that's not deep within our hearts, then I think that there's something wrong with our prayer life. We're just kind of floating. We don't have this zeal to save souls. I think you have to kind of question yourself, what type of prayer life do we have? No? Are we just present there? Or are we really struggling with the Lord to become better apostles, to be better instruments of salvation? Maybe you people are totally content with your life, but I'm certainly not content with my life, man. Not at all. No? I feel there's so much more that can be done. So let's maybe accept this challenge of St. James to go beyond where we're at, to keep climbing the mountain of holiness, keep making concerted efforts to keep growing. Okay, so that's a few ideas. So what we can do now is I'd like to go to number 74, either in your text or you have it in your sheet. I'd like to read and comment. So the theme of number 74 is the confession of our wards. So in the convent they would have these women helpers. Okay? Often they're very poor, and some of them were not too well formed. Part of the work of the sisters of St. Faustina was to work to rehabilitate women that were sweet women. That was part of their work. To have mercy on these women who live in a very promiscuous life. So these wards are not ready to be canonized saints. These wards are pretty shifty individuals, to say a little. Okay, we're going to see what's going to happen at the end of this number, and see the power of God's grace. One day, I felt driven to take steps to see to it that the Feast of Mercy be instituted. Okay, a comment on that. There already existed a Feast of Divine of Mercy, but it was not well known. So Jesus wanted a Feast of Mercy to be proclaimed. It would actually be not simply an optional memorial, but rather that the feast would actually be a solemnity. So this became a reality in the year 2000. And it became a reality in the year 2000 in April, when John Paul II proclaimed officially that the Sunday after Easter would be officially proclaimed the Divine Mercy Sunday. It falls within the octave of Easter. So actually, that is the crowning point of Easter would be the eighth day in which we celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday. On that same day, John Paul II also canonized the first saint in the new millennium. And that was St. Faustina Maria Kowalska. That was the first canonization in the new millennium. Very symbolic. And And John Paul II made a comment to, I heard this in one of Father Mike Gately's talks, that was the happiest day of the life of John Paul II. And for the various reasons, he felt that he was called. He felt that he was called to really promote divine mercy. He felt that that was his mission. He felt that his mission to promote recognition of Saint Faustina Kowalska, but also Divine Mercy Sunday. So on that day in which he canonized Saint Faustina and he instituted publicly the solemnity of Divine Mercy, he felt almost as if this were his nunc dimittis. When they say nunc dimittis, is that when Simeon said, now you can let your servant go in peace, because he accomplished what he believed to be one of the most important missions that God gave to him. So when Divine Mercy Sunday arrives, make sure that you really live it to the fullest. And not to become jaded or take for granted the many gifts that God is giving to us as Catholics. No? You know what it means, the expression to be jaded means this. We kind of take things for granted. Now, if all of you had to travel, walk 15 miles to go to daily mass like Juan Diego with his wife, Doña Lucia, before she died, I think we'd appreciate mass much more. If you had to... I just finished confessing 15 people in probably about 19 minutes, no? But if you had to wait 5 to 6 days online to go to confession, maybe with the Cure of Ars, I think we would appreciate confession much more. So we're kind of spoiled. Sad to say. We become jaded. Jaded means we take things for granted. In the absence of the poet says, in the absence of the loved one, we appreciate the loved one all the more. Want me to wax poetic this evening? So in the absence of the loved one who is Christ, we appreciate him all the more. Be careful. The book of Revelation, you have lost your first love. That scares the heck out of me. I don't know about you. You've lost your first love. Careful, otherwise I will take away your candelabra. Book of Revelation. So accept these words of a very great saint to kind of motivate us to not stay where we're at. If we stay where we're at, we start to stagnate, we become stultified, okay? So our spiritual life is a constant, you know, if I can use two theological terms, we have to have a constant ascetical life to have a mystical life. Asceticism, it comes from the Greek word ascesis, which means exercise. We can't presume that we arrive at the mystical life without the ascetical life. In other words, without a life of serious, constant purification through spiritual labor, we're never going to arrive at the mystical life that God is calling us to. Read St. Paul of the Cross or St. John of the Cross, the great mystics that we have. So the Feast of Divine Mercy, what a great blessing. The past 17 years, huh? 2017, right? I always look forward to it. Usually by Divine Mercy Sunday, most of the priests at St. Peter Chanel, we are totally exhausted, usually. Not complaining, just explaining, no? Because that's the way, thanks be to God for Father Larry, who's a real strong promoter of this, you know, wonderful devotion, no? As we try to be available in the confessional as much as we can that week, so that those who make their confession and receive communion that day, their soul becomes white as the snow. All of the sins are washed away. You're to die, you go right to heaven. So we try to promote that promise, that wonderful privilege, to the max. But I'll tell you something that is very wonderful too. I think I mentioned this about three months ago, but it's going to refresh our memories. A couple of days ago, I went to confession. I said Mass, as I do every day, usually two Masses a day. Today I had one Mass, but often I say two Masses because of the lack of priests. I pray the rosary with the priest at 9 o'clock. We pray the rosary together at 9 o'clock in the chapel, and we pray night prayer. I prayed for the intention of the Pope. And I made the decision, Lord, I want to get rid of sin in my life. Guess what? Guess what? It's called a plenary indulgence. Now, theologically, it's really the same. That's huge. And obviously, you're all looking at me shocked. Indulgences. Take advantage of what the church is offering you, for the love of God. Take advantage of it. I am. If you don't want to, give it to me. Everything the church offers, man, I run to it. Try to imagine that there's a huge recipient of diamonds and gold and rubies. Right after this talk. Okay, that recipient is half the size of this building. And they tell you, okay, for the next half hour, you can grab whatever you want. What I would do is I'd first push you aside, then I would go first. Not so much that I want it for myself, but I really like to help out the poor. For myself, you know, I've got many defects, but I'm not attached to material things. That's a grace that I've always had. Material things, I've never been attracted to them my whole life. I come from a pretty wealthy family, but I've never been really. I think it's just a waste of time and energy. See, if you got God, you got everything. But if I can get that, those jewels, and I can help out the poor people of the world, I'll shove you aside and I'll go for it. Now, That's an analogy for what indulgence is. Indulgence comes from the cross and the resurrection. So it's the infinite merits of Christ. Try to see it like in a recipient, a huge recipient. And there are infinite graces, and sad to say, we only go and we take maybe a little penny. And over the past year, the whole idea of a plenary indulgence for me, it just fascinates me, and it fills me with a lot of consolation, because technically, you can receive it every day. What I try to do is I try to apply one day to myself, and then the souls in purgatory. Is that really? I know about you people. I want to go right to heaven. Am I worthy of it? Of course not. And you aren't either. Are you? But it's not so much me. It's the infinite merits of the blood that flows from the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that are present in that huge recipient. And you have to grab onto it. Of course, what I'm saying is not mere formalism. So if I'm just doing these actions, but I have no purpose of changing my heart, it's a sham. So my confession that I make to the other priest, and your confession, it has to be well prepared and well confessed. Otherwise, it's mere formalism. It's a perfunctory action that has no real change of heart. So when we go, we receive the sacrament, we have to try to really receive them well. And recognize that the indulgences are intimately connected with the mystical body of Christ, which is the church. And the mystical body of Christ, the graces flow especially through the sacraments. So the plenary indulgence, 90% of it is confession and communion. Then the indulgence act, it could be reading the Bible half an hour. You're doing your holy hour, reading the Bible an hour a day. You make the way of the cross. You pray the rosary in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Or pray the rosary in your family. If you pray the family rosary and you pray for the Pope, and you made your confession within a week, you go to communion, plenary indulgence. You hear me? This should fill you with incredible consolation. Take advantage of it. Yeah, about 5 years ago, it's embarrassing to say this, but my mom was rebuking me, saying, "Son, preach the indulgence. I'm going to get around it. Do it now!" And I see her wisdom. I was a little bit reluctant, because I think I got a million things to preach. But now I see how important that is. Then if you're dying, and we give you the apostolic blessing, you know what that is? Same thing. It's very important to have a priest as a friend, right?
Yeah.
I think it's very good fire insurance, really, no? Fire insurance, yeah. So don't get me angry at you, okay? Be on good terms, at least with one priest, huh? So Divine Mercy Sunday, and really a plenary indulgence, there's a real parallelism between those two. But what is related is to the church, the cross, the paschal mystery, the sacraments, and the infinite graces that flow from the open heart of Christ. Because from the open heart of Christ, what happens? Vatican II says that was the birthday of the church. Because from the open heart of Christ, you got blood of water, which you have the sacraments. Therefore, the Catholic says, I love Christ, but I don't love the church. It's not the way it works. I love the church. Church is the mystical body of Christ. Love the church. Instead of criticizing the church, become a saint. What's easier, to criticize the church or become a saint? Huh. Easier to point the finger, huh? And as Augustine says, the more we criticize others, the less we examine our own consciences, huh? Listen to this really good talk by Bill Cook on St. Francis. And he's listening today for about half an hour. Have any of you ever read The Life of St. Francis? Any of you ever hear of St. Francis? Okay. He was weeping because he said he was the greatest sinner in the world. And St. Paul, you know, says that in one of his writings. And Bill Cook was saying, one of the brothers was saying, come on. A lot of baloney. What do you mean by saying that? You know, you got the stigmata, you got all these followers, everyone, you know, you're proclaimed as a saint even before you die. It's a lot of baloney. That's hyperfluting, you know. But Francis defended himself. He said, if you knew how many graces I received and how poorly I responded to them, you'd understand that I'm the greatest sinner in the world. Oh. Did you understand that? Sometimes I feel like I'm the worst sinner in the world because I know I've received a lot of graces. Have you? Have all of you responded perfectly to every grace that God has given to you? Hello? You want to start now? Say yes, Father. Yeah, start now. Start now. Never too late. Remember the good thief, right? Never too late. Yeah, I'm glad that Cook explained that because I read The Life of Francis by Bonaventure, by Jorgensen. I've read maybe two or three versions, and I really love St. Francis. I always thought that was kind of hyperbole, the greatest sin in the world. Okay, Francis. But he's saying because he received so many graces and he didn't really respond that well to all the graces. That's why Paul calls himself the greatest of sinners, because Paul received a lot of graces. And you read the lives of the saints, they'll often say that I'm the worst. So the many grace that God gives to us, let's try to be generous. Malleable. Docile. Yep. Amen? Read on. That the feast of mercy be instituted and the image of the merciful Jesus be painted. And I could find no peace. Do all of you have a beautiful image of divine mercy in your homes? Above your workbench in the basement. Get it out. Get it out. A prominent place. Get it out. If I were you, if I were in your home, in the front door, I would have a nice big image of divine mercy and one of Mary. If you're Mexican, Our Lady of Guadalupe. If you're Filipino, Our Lady of Perpetual Help. I love Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of Lourdes, whichever one you like. Are you courageous enough to do that, to move it? Or are you a gallina? You know what gallina means? Gallina, huh? Because, you know, someone enters the house, oh! Oh! Ah! And then some pagan comes in. There's a lot of pagans out there, a lot of pagan Catholics, no? And the person says, well, What's that? Ah, Father Broom's class, he's had the past year and a half, give him an eloquent, long discourse on divine mercy. Amen?
Amen.
Our Lady Guadalupe, I've heard of that. Could you tell me a little bit about Lady Guadalupe? Another hour talk. So you got 2 hour talks. Sit her down, give her a cup of tea or maybe a cup of coffee, some cookies, and you go to town, huh? So you had so many opportunities to evangelize them. And carry in your wallet. Carry in your wallet, always carry in your wallet some of those little Divine Mercy cards. Do you?
Yes.
Always have 4 or 5, then you meet people, give them out. Then replenish it. Buy one of those packs of 1,000. Buy that for about $20, is it?
Right.
Yeah. Buy one in Spanish, one in English. No? And then give them out. Give them out. They're like pancakes. Just give them out. No? There you go to the store, you're waiting in line. Oh, how are you doing? Here's a Divine Mercy card. No? I'm not a Catholic? Well, God, Jesus loves you anyway. That's for you. I'm a Jehovah's Witness. Jesus loved Jehovah's Witnesses too. I believe in idolatry. You're wrong on that ticket anyway. The image has power. I go to nursing homes, or I go to a hospital, I go to a residential house, and someone's really sick and dying. I don't care what the people believe. We're going to pray it anyway, no? They call the cops? Let them call the cops. I think we have to be maybe a little bit more assertive. Not aggressive, but assertive. Take the initiative. Divine Mercy. The image. What are the two most famous images today in the church? Our Lady Guadalupe and Divine Mercy. Have you ever been in the parish of St. Peter Chanel? Who do we have there? Divine Mercy and Our Lady Guadalupe. The most frequented church in the world is St. Peter. And after that is Our Lady Guadalupe, number 2. So really venerate Divine Mercy. You might even enthrone Divine Mercy, or the enthronement of the Sacred Heart. There's an enthronement ceremony of Divine Mercy. You didn't know that, did you? Now you know it. Enthrone Divine Mercy, the Sacred Heart, Sacred Heart of Mary. Your home is becoming a sanctuary of Mary's love and the sanctuary of Jesus' mercy. Amen. Family is called to become the domestic church. Remember when John Paul II called, the year 2000, remember the document he wrote, Tercio Millennio Innuente? Grace was probably reading that last night, knowing that I was going to be referring to it. But in that document, John Paul II says that the church should be a school of prayer, but also the family should be a school of prayer. Is your family a school of prayer? Or a den of thieves? Hopefully it's a school of prayer. The domestic church. Amen? Okay. Image of merciful Jesus be painted. And I could find no peace. Do you have peace in your heart and your soul right now? What is the definition the Augustine gives of peace? It's a good one to memorize. Tranquility of order. Okay? Great definition. Do you remember that? Peace is the tranquility of order. What is annotation number 1 in the spiritual exercises? purpose of the exercises is to order the disorder in our life. What did the Lady Guadalupe do to the flowers in the town of Juan Diego? Elvira? Ordered, right? So there's three images of order. Augustine, tranquility of peace. Ignatius, peace, order the disorder. A Lady of Guadalupe, ordering the flowers. So we should ask Mary to order our lives. Place everything in its proper proportion and perspective. Amen? Peace. Something was pervading my whole being, and yet I feared being deluded. Have you ever been deluded? Sometimes we're deluded, right? And the second set of rules, Ignatius says that the devil can appear as an angel of light. Sometimes the devil can tempt us to do something good so that we don't do what is best. So proper discernment is between good, better, and best, the magis of Ignatius. Huh? Both Ignatius as well as Saint Faustina, when they were in a state of confusion, their salvation was obedience. Yep. Obedience to their confessor, spiritual director. That saved them. Because we read this earlier, St. Faustina, when she's going through the dark night of the soul, totally confused. And it's only in obeying that she's able to get through the thickets and the confusion of that interior state of soul. It was so painful. So we have to learn the importance of obeying. Not my will, but your will be done. Amen? The priest to whom I was going to confession at that time told me that one can often have illusions. And I felt that he was somewhat afraid to hear my confession. Okay, one comment on that. Now, there are a lot of apparitions. Careful not to follow apparitions that are not approved by the church. Once the church has given its stamp of approval, fine. But you have some Catholics that are like spiritual butterflies. You ever see a butterfly? And I would suggest before going after things that are somewhat spurious or questionable, read the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Get to know the meat and potatoes of Catholicism before giving yourself up to reading a lot of questionable mystical things. Meat and potatoes. Catechism of the Catholic Church. Can't go wrong in that. Can't go wrong. Okay. Now, this was a torture for me, seeing that I was getting very little help from people. I turned all the more to Jesus. The best of all teachers. Okay, something very important about that last phrase. Even though, as the poet says, no one is an island unto himself, that's true. Aristotle says we're called to be social animals. Sooner or later, it's going to happen to you in your life where only God can resolve your problem. Rely upon other sources. Rely upon other sources. But it happens in the lives of the saints, or where God is going to say, you have to get out of the boat, you have to walk on the water, even though you don't see me, you can just hear my voice. Called blind faith. Called blind faith. You can't see him. He's walking in the water. Hear his voice. That's enough. And as a result of that, your faith is going to grow all the more. We all have our crutches that we rely on. Our crutches. Las muletas, we have our crutches. Sometimes it happens where God just knocks our crutches down. We have to rely totally on Him. The book by Jean Caussade on Divine Providence, where you're trusting totally in God's providential work in your life for everything. As the poet says, in Him we live and move and have our being. You like that phrase, Jesus is the best of all teachers? You like that? I don't like it. I love it. Does Jesus teach you? How did Jesus teach you if he's the best of all teachers? The Word, right? The Gospel? About the magisterium, about the church. So Jesus teaches us, but there's different avenues or katedras by which he's communicating the truth. When Ignatius was converted, he said that Jesus treated him like a little schoolboy. After he was converted, like a little schoolboy. Which I kind of like that, because that means very small, childlike, very docile. I like to be a little schoolboy in the class of Jesus Christ too, don't you? You're not a know-it-all. And then it says, at one time, when I was filled with doubts as to whether the voice I heard came from the Lord or not, I began to speak to Jesus interiorly without forming any words. Can you talk to Jesus interiorly without even saying any words? Can you do that? Yeah. What is she speaking about? She's speaking about the prayer of the heart now. Prayer of the heart. So you're not vocalizing, but your heart is expressing its gratitude, love, awareness of God's presence. Have you ever been in front of the Blessed Sacrament and you didn't want to say a lot of words, you just wanted to be there? Basking in His presence? You're not vocalizing words, but your heart is communicating to the Lord? That's what we're on. That's mystical prayer. And once you're there, stay there. Stay there. The temptation is, well, I'm wasting time. I'm not doing a lot of work upstairs. No? And Teresa of Avila says, as mystical prayer grows, you have the dormition of the intellect and the activity of the will. In which the intellect is playing a minor role and your heart is playing a major role. That's pure Teresa of Avila. The temptation, if you don't have spiritual direct, well, I kind of wasted a lot of time. I didn't have a lot of thoughts. I didn't have this discursive reasoning process. Well, God wanted to move you into a deeper prayer life. Your prayer becomes more simple. It becomes more simple. It's deeper. The affections are maybe less. Maybe instead of having 10 different affections, you're just thanking and loving God the whole hour. That's a great holy hour. No, but Father, I felt like I was wasting my time. You have to have spiritual direction. move on. Suddenly, an inner force took hold of me, and they said, if you who commune with me and talk to me are truly my God, I beg you, O Lord, to make this ward go this very day to confession. This sign will give me reassurance. At that very moment, the girl asked to go to confession. That's cool, huh? And as I said earlier, these wards, I mean, they were not canonized saints. These were somewhat shaky and questionable individuals that lived somewhat of a checkered existence, huh? Has God ever spoken to you through certain signs? Vatican II, are you able to read the signs of the times? Catechism of the Catholic Church says we should have to read the today of God. That's what the word in the catechism is. And today means, through the circumstances of life, are you aware that God speaks to you through the circumstances of life? My friends, that's the whole purpose of the daily examine, which we all struggle with, right? But if you do your daily examine well, you go through the different moments, activities of the day, you see, wow, God was in that circumstance. God was in that action. God was in that encounter I had with that person. And it's dawning on me right now as I do my daily examine. That's why the daily examine is so important for us to be aware of God's constant presence in our lives and our sometimes not corresponding to His presence or walking away from His presence. But these doubts always come from without. So that means that is the devil, right? The doubts that come from without is a sign of the tail of the enemy. One of my talks I pointed out is very often before a major victory, the devil puts up major obstacles. You might even rewind some your own life to see you had a great major spiritual victory, but how many obstacles there were that tried to impede that major victory. Probably the best example is that there in Manresa, Ignatius was tempted just to throw the towel in. He was tempted to give up. He was tempted by scrupulosity that the confession he had made that took 5 days was not well done. Oh boy. Maybe I got to do 10 days. Oh. He was tempted to give in to despair. He was tempted to commit suicide. And what happened? There in the cave of Manresa, who appeared to him was the Blessed Virgin Mary and gave him the spiritual exercises. So it's not surprising that as a result of that incredible downpour of temptations, God is preparing this saint to receive one of the greatest mystical gifts in the history of the world. And all of us are here because of what happened to Saint Ignatius in Manresa, in that cave years ago. You're going to go off on retreat or Corsi or something. It seems as if all hell breaks out. I've worked with couples who were trying to get married for 10 years and they're right about to get married and the week before, all hell breaks loose. Then they don't get married in the church. Right, Raquel? It happens. I'm not going to say every week. And if the devil was just going after them right and left so that they won't get married in the church so they can keep living in the state of mortal sin. The devil never goes on vacation, by the way. Maybe you don't. The devil never goes on vacation. He works 24-7, 25-8 rather. Okay? By 24-7 by 25-8, right? When doing confession, I sense uncertainty on the part of the priest. I do not open my soul to its depths, but only accuse myself of my sins. Priest is not at peace with himself, will not be able to inspire peace in another soul. Okay, to make a long story short, pray for priests. Amen?
Amen.
Pray for priests. Very important. O priests, you bright candles, enlightening human souls, let your brightness never be dimmed. I understand that at that time it was not God's will that I uncover my soul completely. Later on, God did give me this grace. 76. O my Jesus, direct my mind. Take possession of my whole being. Enclose me in the depths of your heart. And protect me against the assaults of the enemy. My only hope is in you. Speak through my mouth when I, wretchedness itself, find myself with the mighty and wise, so that they will know that this undertaking is yours and comes from you. Okay, direct my mind. St. Paul says something that's very impressive. He says, put on the mind of Christ. Then afterward, another verse he says, put on the mind of Christ, and he says, you have the mind of Christ. Can you say that you have the mind of Christ? Nancy, no? I'll play the devil's advocate. You give me permission. Do some of you go to daily mass? Are you just a caliente banca there? You know what a caliente banca means? You're just a bench warmer? You're not a caliente banca? Do you receive communion? Do you believe in what you receive? Do you have faith? Tell me the four words. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. You know what divinity means? You're divinized. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. How about the soul? What are the faculties of the soul according to Aristotle and Aquinas? Memory, understanding, imagination, will. Those are called the faculties of the soul. Do you receive the heart of Christ? Or is that just a symbol? Is it real? What about this? You receive the Christo total? You receive the whole Christ? Do you also receive his mind? Hello? Wouldn't it be a good idea before telling our young people before they take tests in high school and college to go to receive Holy Communion? Hello? Did Jesus have a keen mind? Obviously Jesus Christ had the most keen intellect in the history of the world. So when you receive Holy Communion, not only do you receive his blood, sinews, his heart, but also you receive his very mind. We have the penetrating intellect of Christ, his memory and his imagination. So let's pray that Christ would give us a new mind, a new heart, a new soul, a transformation of our being. So we'll be able to put into practice what St. Paul says. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. The Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.